World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for pass the salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, that'd be me coming up on air, huh? Coach Dave live, coming at you live and in color, as Mark Levin would say, out of an underground bunker just outside of Columbus, Ohio, the cornfields of Columbus, Ohio, live and in color. I can't, you know something I notice? This white, this tooth here, I don't know if you guys, every time that thing shines, see, this is an implant. This one right here is an implant. Don't ask me about that story, how that one lost, but I lost that one. And then I guess I drink too much coffee, and this one gets yellow. And every time I notice, it's like a ding when those things comes off of my white tooth. So I apologize for my white-looking tooth. Can't do a whole lot about it. And then I noticed the other day, it looked like my white beard. I was looking and thinking, oh, my goodness, looks like my nose is running. So I want to promise you, my nose isn't running. It's just I'm getting a gray beard. And it's pretty cool to have a gray beard. I don't know when I got old. Can anybody help me? When did I get old? And I think I told you guys the story a month or so ago. I was in Milwaukee, and my friend Pastor Matt Twella let me speak at his church, and he introduced me as he said it was so good to see some of the older generation finishing strong. And I'm looking around, I'm like, somebody in here I don't know about? Who's he talking about? He was talking about me. What? Older generation? Come on, Matt. Come on, Pastor Matt. I'm just a young buck. But actually, I'm about 30 in the spirit. My spirit man's about 30 years old, so I'm just getting rolling. But as Paul said, my outward man's perishing daily. I haven't yet figured out how to hone in on that one. I'm doing my best. Waiting a little bit for the queue to get filled up there. You know, Jared didn't send out a link, so we're creatures of habit. And because we didn't get a link, then guys probably don't know how to get in here to program. And great to be. I was in one of those moods yesterday. I don't know how to describe the mood. I got back from Dallas, and then we had Easter, and man, I got a lot to do, and you know, I couldn't get in gear yesterday. Could not get in gear. I don't know whether it's because I had so much to do. I don't know what the excuse was, but I couldn't get in gear. So hopefully today I'm going to be in gear. Get my newsletter out. A lot of things got to get done. Got to go to the clinic this afternoon. The weather was lousy around here yesterday. That probably didn't help. I didn't sleep very well because I don't know how was out your way, JR. We had weather blow through here on Sunday night. My goodness. I stood up and watched out the back window. I thought sure one big old tree back there was going to bend over and fall. So didn't sleep very well, but live and full of energy and ready to go here this morning. I proudly announced to all of you, today's the month anniversary, no Fox News. I haven't seen Fox News in 30 days. Is that cool? Yeah, and I'm feeling better, actually. It's like coming off of cigarettes or coming off of coffee in the morning or something. My eyes are clearing up. I don't see all those blondes crossing their legs all the time. And that is part of the appeal, you know. There is a pornographic appeal to Fox News. Leg crossers. And it, you think about if I get up in the morning, I want to check out the news. That inward man sometimes is asleep on me, so I let the outward man control me. So I think I'll turn on what's that, Fox and Friends or whatever that thing is in the morning, because they don't have a leg crosser there. I'll get my engine started in the morning. I turn on CNN, I'm looking at some Don Lemon or somebody. Who wants to look at Don Lemon? I turn on MSNBC, and I'm not sure whether it's going to be a man or a woman that looks like a man. So why would I go there when I can go to Fox News and have all those blonde leg crossers? So 30 days. 30 days without it, and I'm excited and encouraged. Hey, I want to talk about something. This happened to us before. I'm noticing it even more after we come out of the Easter break here. The Easter weekend, things were really, really quiet. And this whole Ted Cruz thing, Donald Trump thing, starting to heat up again. And I don't want to go there. I don't even want to talk about that, really. Here's what I want to talk about. Again, what an unbelievable job the devil does to divide and conquer us. Unbelievable. If you happen to go on Facebook, you know, I twiddle around on Facebook because it's a good way to communicate with people. And actually, the reason I don't watch Fox News is I get all my news off of the internet, Facebook, a lot of good sites that you can go there to find the truth of what's going on. And I just continue to be amazed at how you get attacked if you don't fall in line behind Ted Cruz, or how you get besmirched if you publicly say that you support Donald Trump. Oh my goodness. And JR's once always saying that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's unity. And they have done the most remarkable job of dividing and conquering us. It's just pathetic. We all saw what happened down in Georgia, where Georgia tried to pass one of those religious liberty laws. In fact, they did pass it. The House and the Senate sent the bill to the governor to restore religious liberty, make sure that pastors could, you know, they could not marry gays, or you didn't have to bake a cake, whatever. It's trying to restore religious liberty, which, by the way, is guaranteed in the First Amendment of the Constitution. We're so screwed up. It's guaranteed. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Finished. That's it. Free exercise of my faith is I'm not going to marry homos. Free exercise of my faith is I ain't baking a homo cake. That is, the 14th Amendment doesn't trump the first, but they've turned everything upside down on us. See, the 14th Amendment is a Civil War amendment, and it was put into place to guarantee that the freed slaves got liberty. Now, it was crazy because they didn't have to put the 14th Amendment in there because they already were free. The first one, right? Listen, we always think that the answer to our problems is more laws. There ought to be a law against it. More laws. And all laws do is they try to control the outward behavior of man. That's really all it is. Or the inward behavior of man, because it's the inward man that makes the outward man behave the way he behaves. So consequently, we get more and more laws. It's the same thing we were talking about, by the way, down in Kentucky and down in Tennessee, where we're trying to get the states to exert states' rights. That all this stuff being handed down from the federal courts is all baloney. It's all BS. Not to follow that stuff, but we choose to follow that stuff. And so then when we choose to allow the government to be tyrannical, by tyrannical I meaning they're out of control, they're making their own laws. When we choose to live under that tyranny, it requires we make more laws to take some of those weights off of us. We haven't figured it out yet. The reason we haven't figured it out yet is because they have, listen, just turn on your TV, the news channels. Just go down Facebook. Everything is about the election. Everything. Cruz did this, Trump did this, Hillary did this, Bernie did this, over and over and over and over. And why is that? Because they're sending to us a very strong message that the federal government controls your life. When they get that president in there, he is the king, and you will obey the king. That's why they're doing it 24/7. Remember, you got to serve somebody. You either serve the Lord or you serve the devil. You can't serve both. Fox News, hate to tell you this, is serving the devil. They're of their father, the devil. The works of their father they will do. So does CBS and ABC, all of them. They are all serving the devil. Now, remember, where the Spirit of the Lord is, the scriptures tell us. Hey, Kevin, good to see you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, hi, Doug. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. So a good rule of thumb is if you want to figure out if the Spirit of the Lord's where you are, just ask yourself, are you free? Are you free? Because if you're free, then you know that the Spirit of the Lord's there. And it's not, see, the whole object of the devil is to control. That's his whole object, to put you into bondage. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundant. Jesus came that we might have liberty and freedom. That's why, not licentiousness. Licentiousness being the idea you can do whatever you want to do. There are no laws, there are no rules. That's licentiousness. That's where America, that's what we have devolved into. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That's what the first, that's what the entire, that was the basis of the entire Declaration and Constitution. Now, hang on. I understand the Masonic influence. I understand all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But at least in the Declaration of Independence, they acknowledge that our rights were a gift to us from God. Right? We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable means it can't be taken away. It's a birthright. Citizen birthright. An unalienable, your skin is black, you can't take it away. It's unalienable. You can't change your skin color. You can't change your hair color. Well, you can dye it, but you can't change it. It is what it is. You can't change your teeth. They are what they are. You can straighten them or you can get new ones, but you can't change it. It's unalienable. So the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are unalienable rights. Cannot be taken away. But they can be legislated or licensed if we permit people to do that to us. The Second Amendment to the Constitution says, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's an unalienable right, the right to keep and bear arms. And we get into trouble when, again, do-gooders, we want to do good, so we want to stop people from killing each other. So we say, well, here's how we'll do it. We'll just take away the guns. Well, all sounds good, but it's an unalienable right. They cannot take away your right to possess a gun. They cannot take away your right to possess an Uzi machine gun. Well, they can. I mean, they pass laws, and they'll throw you in jail. But the truth of it is, they can't take away that right. Now, you may have to sneak your Uzi, but you have a right to have it. And understand this, that our rights often come in conflict with government. Often our rights come in conflict. Now, why do our rights come in conflict? Very simple. For the Spirit of the Lord is his liberty. If we were truly a free people, we wouldn't have all these government restraints that are coming down on top of us. And I was thinking today, boy, I can't believe where the Lord's taking me, because I've been filling myself up all morning. I got up about 5. This is all good. This is all good. I was thinking about taxation. I got up this morning. And I pay my taxes. Hate every minute of it. I hate every minute of it. Because it's thievery. You study history at all, you'll find that our founding fathers, even before them, believed that a man's labor was part of him. Then when you went out and let's say you went out all day and you split wood, and you came up with a whole truck, or even today you're doing it, you come up with a whole truckload of wood. That wood is an extension of you. You traded your labor for that wood. And you're going to take it down the road and you're going to sell it to some man who's going to give you $100 for this wood. And the government says, no, that's income. No, it's not income. It's an extension of who you are. Your labor produced that wood. And when you take away the right of a man to reap the fruits of his labor, he's no longer free. He's not free. And I was thinking, I saw something on the internet today about income tax time coming up. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? That we as free men pay 35, 40, 45, maybe 50% of our money to government. What is wrong with us? How did that happen? And how did we get to the point where we all know this whole income tax thing was done as voluntary compliance. That's the way they sold us to us. There wasn't any income tax till 1913. America was around for 140 years without any income tax. In fact, it was one of the things that our founders rejected. It was one of the reasons they came here. That's why they levied. That's why they said in the Constitution, no direct tax. You can't tax somebody for being a citizen. You can't do that. You can tax their goods. You can tax imports and exports. But you cannot tax a guy just for living. Think about your property tax. I'm having a discussion because my daughter and son-in-law just built a new house talking about property taxes. Are you kidding me? You mean to tell me that as long as you have to pay property taxes, you don't own your house? Stop paying your taxes and see how long you own your house. Well, we can get into the argument whether it's good or not, whether it's good to pay taxes, that we have roads and policemen. We can get into all that debate we want to. But the idea that you are forced to do it. Hey, listen, Jesus doesn't even force you to follow him. He didn't even force you to do it. It's free will. And much of what's going on, the problems that we're facing in America is through thievery. It's happening through the worst, the commandment that we talk about the least is the commandment that is hurting us the most. And that commandment is, thou shall not covet. Covetousness is destroying this nation. I just saw it, again, I was reading this article. How many people aren't paying anything in income tax? Hey, by the way, I think they're the smart ones, aren't they? They're the smart ones. The rest of us, we're paying income tax. We're paying for all these illegal aliens that they're bringing in. And it all gets back to the idea of what is law and what is our obligation with the law. I'm also burdened by this. Am I going to stand before the Lord and give an account to him that I continue to pay my taxes to a government that kills babies? Am I going to give an account to the Lord for that? Am I going to give an account to the Lord for financially supporting a government that is destroying everything that the Lord stands for? Destroying marriage, destroying the sanctity of life, pumping out pornography, pumping out licentiousness rather than liberty. And the scripture tells me, for me to know good, not to do it. To me, it's sin. Well, that brings us into a real conflict, doesn't it? Listen to me. I know paying taxes to support what the government's doing with the money is sinful. I know that it is. Why do I do it? It's coercion, isn't it? It's coercion. I'm putting my own liberty above what's right. It's a very dangerous position for all of us to find ourselves in. If the Lord says it's bad, should I pay for it? Am I going to be able, when I stand on those pearly gates? I'm really asking this question. I really am. Because just like we talked about yesterday with Easter, I want to please the Lord with my life. And I don't know if I'm going to... I don't know what the great white throne judgment is going to be about. I know this. My sins are forgiven. I know that. But I don't agree with premeditated sin. I don't agree with sinning and planning ahead of time to sin, knowing the Lord's going to forgive me. That's why when I had what do they call those radar detectors, I called it premeditated sin. Had the radar detector so I could speed and not have any consequences for my speeding, my sin. But I really wonder how will the Lord see? I guess I'm moving a little bit today towards a thing called antinomianism. Antinomianism. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. Anti meaning against. Nomianism meaning law. Meaning living in a society. Living in a, how about this one? Living in a Christianity where there is no law. And you know that we all fall under that, right? Say, oh, we're under grace. We're not under law anymore. We're under grace. Well, and you look around everywhere else in your life and you're under law. Everywhere you look, you're under law. If you don't pay the IRS the amount of money that they're stealing from you, they're going to come and knock on your door and they're going to promise you there ain't no grace. It's all law. It's all law and judgment, all of it. And then we look at Christianity and we say, well, we're free. We're free. Liberty. Christ has set us free. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'll bite. But does that now free me from doing what's right? And unfortunately, many of the things that we do that are not right are laws. We're forced to do them. And am I going to stand before the Lord and the Lord's going to say, Coach, you knew better than that. You knew, Coach, you knew they were taking your tax dollars and they were killing little babies. You knew that. And you kept paying them. I said, yeah, but Lord, if I didn't pay them, they're going to throw me in jail. Also, you can be bought then, Coach, the Lord says to me. Your value of right and wrong, it's negotiable. If somebody makes you do it, it's okay then. It causes me great concern. It really, really does. Because I'm either all the Lord's or I'm not all the Lord's. I either love him with my whole heart or I don't love him with my whole heart. And this fear that we all have, and nobody wants to go to jail. Who wants to go to jail? Well, the idea that they can even put you in jail is tyranny, isn't it? Isn't that? Dr. Ken Oven wrote a little booklet. I read it when I was flying down to Dallas called The Kennel. Talked about the criminal justice system and how corrupt it is from the inside out. It's absolutely unbelievable. And for us to understand, fellas, that we cannot, how do I say this, Lord? We cannot live in a nation, a godless nation, and live godly. It's almost impossible to do it. To live in a godless nation and live godly. In fact, the scripture says that they're enmity against each other, right? They're against each other. It says in Isaiah, I don't have it, just popped into my head, that those who do good make themselves a snare. I think it's Isaiah 56, although I could be. If I teach my children to follow righteous living, I'm setting them up. I'm setting them up. If I teach my children to speak out against homosexuality, I'm setting them up for trouble. But yet I should. I should teach my children to speak out against homosexuality. But if I teach my children to speak up against homosexuality, I'm setting them up. You guys understand what I'm saying, what I'm trying to say here? And so if we begin to look at this, all of us begin to look at this, we are all great compromisers. We are. And I don't know how to get by it. I don't want you to think I lay awake at night and worry, and I don't beat myself over the head with it. And I know that there's liberty in Christ. But see, we like to use this excuse. Well, I'm just following my heart. I'm just following my heart. Yeah, the Bible says that your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? So if we really got that down to it and said, I'm following my heart, the truth of it is you're probably following your heart for a very selfish reason. Oh, my goodness. See, just sitting behind this camera and this microphone and talking about the way that I'm talking. Hey, guys, you know I'm making myself a snare. You know I'm making myself a target, right? I'm making myself a target. Larry with Ranches Lives Matter, you're making yourself a target. And so we all have to come to the realization or the point whether we decide we're going to do that. Or what is the target I'm going to put on my back? What is the uncompromising position that I'm going to take? What am I willing to say, no, I ain't taking it, no more, here's where I stand. So what do we see happening, JR? Why, we see these religious liberty laws coming, right? And the religious liberty law down in Georgia was passed, and the governor vetoed it. Why'd the governor veto it? Disneyland may not come to town. The NFL might pull out. And so we see that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people became meaningless. It doesn't even matter. So at what point do those of us who are truly free, at what point do we really begin to push back? I remember my friend, are you guys following me? Am I doing okay here? You with me okay? Hear me okay? Good. I remember my friend Flip Benham was about 3 or 4 years. Man, time goes fast, doesn't it? Time goes so fast. Flip Benham was in danger of going to jail for something he'd done. I can't remember what it was. Flip's been in jail a lot of times. He's facing 6 months in jail because he had, it wasn't even a law. He didn't break any law. He broke a man-made ruling. He didn't break any law. Flip has a tendency to do that because he follows the Lord with his whole heart. He doesn't care about man-made laws. And I'm reaching that point rapidly myself as well. Oh, I could. Thank you, Lord. See, we don't want to do that because we're taught to obey the law. That's the lie of the devil. That is a lie of the devil. When a law contravenes or contradicts the law of God, we're not to obey it. But our churches have told us that we are. Romans 13. That's the mess we're in. So I'm back to Flip Benham. Flip has got caught on some warrant. They're going to put him in jail for 6 months. And I'll never forget. Flip's walking into the courthouse. And he's walking into the courthouse. One of the cameras, one of the news stations is there. And so they say, well, tell us, Reverend Benham. What do you think the outcome is going to be? You know, they're poking him in the eye, you know. I'll never forget what Flip said. He says, well, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. He said, when this hearing's over, I'm either going to go home with my family or the Lord's going to put me in a jail ministry. And I thought, is that it? Huh? Is that it? I'm either going home or the Lord's going to put me in jail ministry. He wasn't worried about it. He wasn't stressed out about it. And he wasn't going to compromise his values just because they're going to throw him in jail. How do we get there? And if we look at this entire, hey guys, come on, man, this entire Bible, the right side of it is totally rebellion against tyranny, this entire thing. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That's the message of the New Testament, freedom in Christ. And see, we've become convinced in our culture today that there's a separation between the secular and the sacred. That godly laws and godly rules should not apply to the culture. We've eliminated the separation between the church and morality, or between morality and the state. That's separation that we have now. And that separation is in place because we have believed lies. That's how the enemy always operates. He operates through lies. I was out at the clinic the other day. In fact, I did a little video of that I posted. You guys probably didn't watch it. It was one of those 1 minute videos. I was out there and there was some young lady there. She was from Zambia. I'm at the clinic, the abortion clinic, holding abortion signs, and this little reporter comes up to me. She probably goes to Ohio State. I don't know. She told me millions of people will watch this interview, she told me, because she's connected in Zambia. I didn't even know where Zambia is. But evidently, it's in Northern Africa. But she was a little reporter for Zambia, and she wanted to know why I was out there holding these signs. And so I got about, you know me, I flap these pretty good. I'm pretty good with these. So I gave her a good old interview, man. And then when she got done, I said, can I interview you? Well, she didn't really want to do that because she's a news reporter over in Zambia and wouldn't look very good. So I said, okay, listen, I'm not going to put the camera on you. I'm just going to shoot straight ahead and I'm going to interview. Nobody will know it's you. So she said, okay. And so I asked her, what about abortion in Zambia? She said, oh, there's no abortion in Zambia. I said, what? She said, oh, no, there's no abortion in Zambia. I said, well, what about homosexuality and gay marriage? She said, oh, no. There's no homosexuality in Zambia. Zambia is a Christian nation, she told me. That knocked the wind out of me. Here we are, the beacon of liberty, the shining city set on a hill, and we are totally engulfed in licentiousness. Licentiousness being the right to do whatever you want to do. It takes no license, no legal, no control. Do whatever you want to. And you're going to wake up someday, those of you who are watching me right now, and you're going to realize this. The only thing illegal in America is being a Christian, or the laws of nature and of nature's God. Those are the only things that are becoming illegal. Other than that, anybody can do whatever they want to do. So we are, people like to say this, well, I'm a sojourner. I'm just passing through. This is not my home. Well, then if that's the case, if you're just passing through and this is not your home, then why are you clinging so hard to hang on to this life? When in fact, you are just a sojourner and just passing through. Why do we as Christian men in particular, this is my question today, why do we as Christian men put up with so much ungodly legal issues, ungodly government? Why do we put up with it? Why do we? Because I'm going to tell you right now, they're just laying in the weeds waiting to get Larry They're just waiting for you to do something wrong. They're just laying in the weeds waiting to get me. Just, yeah. It would take nothing. They threw Ken Hovind in jail for 9 years for spending his own stinking money. They're lawless. Look at what's going on with Hillary Clinton. They're lawless. They're lawless. And I saw today Ted Cruz is stealing the delegates from Donald Trump. And they say, well, he's just following the law. Well, doesn't Christian Ted Cruz have an obligation to follow a higher law? To say, yeah, that may be the rules, but that's not very Christ-like. Am I missing something here, fellas? And so what's happened to us in the church is we have now gone anti-nomenism. We no longer feel like we're obligated to follow the laws of God. We follow the laws of government. And we believe that the laws of government now trump the laws of God. I heard this just yesterday. Ted Cruz is hitting a backlash. You know why he's hitting a backlash? Yep. Because Christians don't want a Bible, what do they call them? Bible basher. They don't want a Bible basher for the president. That's where we are. And Ted Cruz and all of them out there, they're putting in all these laws and all these rules, and there's no liberty. And the reason there isn't any liberty, because those of us who carry the name of Christ, we are not willing to stand up and push back for the sake of our children and our grandchildren. Property taxes. Oh, income taxes. Are you kidding me? Huh? I got to get permission to build a porch on my house. That's freedom now. That's what we're supposed to be. And then go murder a baby. We go to the abortion clinic and they have a cop. They have a hired Columbus police officer standing right there. And if I happen to trespass on the Planned Parenthood property, he will come and arrest me. And right behind him, they're killing babies. Right? 50 feet, 20 feet behind him, they're pulling little arms and legs off. And this guy who claims Christ, is oblivious to the destruction of the little babies behind him, but he wants to strain a gnat and swallow a camel. If I step foot on that property, he comes over and tells me to get off the property. I think that's emblematic, in my opinion, of the church. Because the church has become anti-nominal, meaning we're against the law too. You go to the abortion clinic and there'll be women out there that they're Christians, but they know the Lord will forgive them. Their sins are forgiven. Their sins are forgiven before they even perform them. Just think about that with your own child. What if your own child were to act like that? You say, listen, you tell your kid, I don't want you pick anything. I don't want you out there swimming in the hot tub till I come home. You're not to be in there by yourself. And you come home and your kid's in the hot tub. And you go around the corner and say, what are you doing? What are you doing in that hot tub? I told you don't be doing that. The kid says, oh, yeah, I know, Daddy, but I know you'd forgive me. How would that set with you? Yeah, we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I know you died on Easter Sunday, rose again, forgave me of all my sins. And I'm going to do this, Lord, because I know you're going to forgive me. That's where we are living. That's the American gospel. And because of that American gospel, we get what we get in the world. We don't even hear people scream and speak up for the fact that their money's being stolen from them from the government. It's being stolen. Oh, it's being stolen because they passed a law, but it's still thievery. I can get all my neighbors together out here and we could get all my neighbors and we could democratically say, listen, let's do this. The shortest guy in the neighborhood pays everybody's property taxes. And my neighbors vote 30-1, they agree with it, and it ends up being me. Well, that's a law, I guess. It's an unjust law. And I don't think I have any obligation to follow it. What do you think? Anybody want to say something, or am I supposed to keep on rattling my chops here? Am I missing something? Put Larry on there. Larry always has something to say.
Yeah, you know, it's obey the law, you know, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and obey the law of the secular authority and all that. But doesn't it kind of, in that scripture, place it, the godly laws, or those that don't go against God. I think that concept is in that section of Scripture, and when you read it in context. And therefore, you know, you're hitting some nails on the head. That's why there's such silence here.
Yeah, I know.
Because
I know.
So many people have compromised their behavior.
That's right. This is the
meaty. Right.
It's the meaty gospel, brother. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get to the meaty gospel. I'm trying to take us to the gospel where we live our lives. And how, if we were really a Christian nation, if we were really Christian people, how we would be, and truly, as the scripture says, separate from the world. We should be separate. You know, the Amish don't pay taxes, do they? The Amish, did you know this? We started talking about this yesterday. The Amish don't get autism. Why don't they get autism? Because they don't vaccinate. They don't follow those rules. And as crazy as this might sound, why aren't all Christians like the Amish? Why are we not all of us? Why do any of these secular laws apply to any of us? If Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, why can't I stand up and say, listen, my faith tells me that if I give money to the government and it violates the laws of nature and of nature's God, I'm violating my conscience. I'm sorry. I'm not going to pay anymore. Why do we not stand up like that? And the only reason that we don't is because we're fearful of what they're going to do to us. I was driving down the road when I went to Wisconsin last month. Time goes so fast. Whenever I was going to Wisconsin, I think I complained about all the tolls I had to pay. Every car driving up through there, I had to stop five times and pay $1.50 five times. The last one, the fifth one, was $2.90. So $1.50, $1.50, $1.50, $2.90 to drive 40 miles. And hundreds, thousands of cars doing the same thing. And I'm thinking, how did we ever get to be such sheep that they would run us through that? We built the road. Our taxes built the road. And then they run us through sheep gates and make us pay more money to drive on the road. Just following the law, just being a good citizen there, brother. Really? What about the principle? Don't covet and don't steal. Nobody has the right to pass a law that takes money out of my pocket. If they do, there's no liberty. Please understand, I'm not talking about money. Money doesn't have me. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you're not free in your finances, you're not free. And you know, a lot of us aren't free in our finances because taxation is so high that our mommies have to go to work. And taxation is so high, our mommies have to go to work. And what happens to the little kids when mommy has to go to work? They have to go to a daycare. And somebody at the daycare puts the values inside the little child, not the mommy and daddy. Well, mommy and daddy try to, but they work 8 hours a day, and it takes them an hour to get there and an hour to get home. So they get home, and they got 2 hours with their kid to read them a book and put them in bed, send them to the daycare next day. Now, my mom, I was born in 1952. There were five of us. My dad worked at Kaiser Aluminum for a bunch of years. Retired from Kaiser Aluminum. Mom never worked. My mother stayed at home. She stayed at home. Five kids, one car, stayed at home. Is that even feasible today? Is that even feasible? Why does mom have to work? Taxation. They have taxed us into two family workers. That's what they've done to us. Will the church ever speak out against that? And say that woman's, do you have any idea how much adultery went up when women went to work? It's not even natural for a woman to be working alongside a man who's not her husband. Now that sounds really crazy, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds really, really crazy. But if the woman was home taking care of the children where she's supposed to be, that man wouldn't be tempted and that woman wouldn't be tempted to fall into adultery. But it's all happened to us because of the control of the money. So what do we do? I saw this one too. Are you there, JR? Did he leave us?
No, I'm still here. I'm still here.
All right, listen, JR. I was thinking about you, and I don't want you to feel bad because I was thinking about you in a good way this morning. I'm just looking at all the guys here. I wonder how many Hey, JR, let me ask you this. How old were you when you had your first kid?
Oh, Lord, in the 30s.
You were the 30s?
Yep.
Larry, how old were you when you had your first child?
I was 20.
20? Matt, how old were you when you had your first child?
24.
Do you have any idea how many people the age 20 to 35 today don't have kids? They don't have kids. I'm not, that's why I thought of you, JR. Thinking of the two wonderful children that you have, and that, and you're not even a grandpa. I know, I can tell you right, I could rattle off 10 guys my age right now who aren't grandparents yet. I'm 63 years old. Why aren't people being grandparents? Because the kids can't afford it. The kids can't afford it. Why can't the kids afford it? Because they're taxed everywhere they look for everything. Got to pay $1.50 to drive on the road. No, $1.50 five times to drive on the road, drive 40 miles. And we don't even think anything about it. They put taxes on us. Am I making sense to the guys out there? See, we are right now, I just saw this chart today too. The United States, right now, the reproductive rate is 2.1. We are barely replacing ourselves. Barely. Now, whether you want to talk about it or not, the demographic time bomb that is coming to America. You know those 30 million Hispanics that have come over the border? Oh, they tell us it's 10 million, but you're smarter than that, aren't you? Government would lie. There's 30 million people coming over the border. 30 years from now, you have any idea how many Hispanics are going to be? And all these Muslims, I hate to, that sounds awful, doesn't it? But all these Muslims coming over the border that are breeding like rats. I'm just telling you the truth. They're coming across the border and they're breeding like rabbits. And 30 years from now, this 3 million Muslims, whatever they tell us is, the reproductive rate, they're going to be 20 million of them. There's going to be 20 million Muslims, there's going to be 80 million Hispanics, and there's just going to be just a few of us old white guys sitting around thinking, what happened to America? And it's happening to us through our following of unrighteous, ungodly laws. There's no other way to explain it. I don't know how we undo it. How do we undo it at this point? How do we stop this demographic bomb? By the way, the reproductive rate in the United States right now is 2.1. So in other words, we're barely replacing ourselves. And I think about when I was growing up, everybody had four or five kids. Everybody did. Now you go into the church. I heard, I'm not going to bash on him, I heard a well-known, very well-known pastor stand in the pulpit and say to his people, he was in a diatribe much like I'm in right now. He said to the people, well, some of you got to get your lives together. You have to get financially secure before you start having children. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't anything any more anti-biblical than that in my mind. The whole purpose of sex is reproduction. It's not pleasure. You don't go get married and get on birth control and then screw like rabbits and not produce children. That is an affront, I believe, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Fruit of the womb is his reward. We should be doing what the Lord told us to do, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And white Judeo-Christian Americans aren't doing that anymore because of taxation. And open your eyes and look around and understand that you're paying taxes and they're bringing people in over the border who are not American citizens, and they're eating the fruit of your labors. They're eating the fruit. Strangers are devouring it in our midst as we obey the laws. We obey the laws. Yes, Larry.
Yeah, just to interject, just a little levity, perhaps.
Yep.
Do you know what the definition of a grandchild is?
What's that?
It's God's reward for not killing your kids.
God's reward for not killing your kids. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know what else? Come on here. Oh, Lord, do I have to go down this road? Because I'm guilty of it again. I'm preaching to myself. Warehousing our parents in nursing homes. Wow, God help us, huh? That hit me right there. That just hit me. That's where my mom spent her last few years. And we probably lied to ourselves, saying, "Well, it's best for mom. She can get good care there." And probably true, but mom should have laid right up there in my room. I should have taken care of her at the end. We can't. Why? We're overtaxed. Who's going to watch her? Wife's got to work. I got to work. Everybody's got to work. Who can take care of her? So we'll just put her in a nursing home. We'll go to work and get a bunch of money. We'll pay somebody else to take care of her. Let her just kind of lay there and waste away. Devalue life. I'm preaching to me now. You hear me? I'm preaching to me. And all of this has happened to us, I believe, guys, because we have, number one, allowed them to covet and steal from us. The Lord told us, don't let them do that to you. It's wrong to do that. And number two, we've allowed them to covet and steal from us so much that we are now in bondage. Do you think that, could you call the IRS, say, "Hey, listen, sorry, man, can't pay this month. Just got a lot of stuff going on here. I just can't pay this month." And it's churches can't figure out that they don't have enough money because the Lord asked for 10%, but we're giving 30, 35, 40% to the government. That's why there's no money for the church. But the church deserves it because the church decided to let the government take care of the elderly and the sick, not them, because it was a financial burden. So they made a deal with the devil, and this is the mess that we now find ourselves in. So, hey, listen, I have great hope. I don't want this show to be a Debbie Downer. That's not what I... But the reality sometimes is a Debbie Downer, isn't it? Reality is a Debbie Downer. At what point does the church rise up and say, "No, no"? But see, we've got just the opposite. We got the church begging the government to protect us. How can you beg the government to protect you and then gripe about paying taxes? Or how about this one? Because we pay taxes, we now beg the government to protect. "I paid my taxes. I'm paying my taxes." Yeah? Well, good for you. "Come out from among them, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing." The Bible says that. We just want to change what is the unclean thing. Or we just want to be able to say, "Well, it may have been unclean, but my intentions were good. I wasn't using it in an unclean manner." We know better. I don't even know what I want you guys to say. I'm just kind of running off at the mouth today. But fellas, these are the deeper issues of life that we're going to really, really have to consider. See, we don't understand. We can say what we want to about the founding fathers. Do you know what those guys did? Did you ever read the Declaration of Independence? Did you ever read the last sentence of it? I usually have it with me. I'm not ready there. Sometimes right around my office here. They pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor. They were signing their death warrant. As soon as they put their name on that thing, from that point on, they're running from the law. Pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor. We won't do that. Heck, we won't even go help Larry if ranchers' lives matter. We won't even take a position of leadership in our church. Hey, say, how about this? Why don't you get a real men's leadership going in your church? I don't want to do that. Well, who's going to do it? Well, my pastor won't approve of it, and he'll want to keep his thumb on top of it. Then let me ask you something. What are you doing there? What are you doing in that church where that pastor's be able to put a thumb on you? You're a grown boy, aren't you? Aren't you a grown man? And you're going to let some other grown man put a thumb on you and tell you what that you cannot follow your conscience, that you can't do what the Lord's called you to do because some guy standing in the pulpit thumbs you down? No, 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 not here, brother. Don't sow discord amongst men. Just preach the gospel, brother. We just preach the gospel. You go along to get along. Talking to me. And we look up and our children don't have anything left of this great gift that was given to us because we've squandered it. We've allowed the government to steal it. Government is a fierce tyrant. It is not a friend. Government is not a friend, fellas. Government is not a friend. The federal government of the United States is a foe. Now, that's risky to even say that, but you all know, you're all grown guys, grown men, you know that. It's a fearless taskmaster. Steve, I think, wants to get in here.
Sure, I had a couple things to add here, Coach. You know, you're hitting on some stuff that's close to me. I mean, I pay Social Security taxes, but, you know, it's not going to be there for me. Yep. It's not. It might not be there for any of us, quite frankly.
Forced to pay it, right, Steve?
Yeah.
You don't do it by choice. They force you to do it.
Right. It's withheld. So, you know, we're in a situation where the question, what do we do, becomes intractable. It's difficult to, you know, find an easy solution. But what we can say is we know that there is this thievery and covetousness going on. And we also know that because of the debt that we have, including unfunded pension liabilities and the rest of it, that the money grabbing has to continue in order to keep the payouts going.
Yep.
So, you know, we have to protect ourselves. You know, the word says to strengthen the things that remain. Well, what do we have left? We have to make sure that we're in right relationship with Jesus, and then, you know, from there, you know, pray about how to make ourselves more secure, get out of the, in terms of getting out of the banking system, and, you know, as much as possible, and so put ourselves in a position where the word can be fulfilled that the, you know, the unjust gains are stored up for the righteous. You know, when is that gonna pay off? That's in the Lord's timing. But, you know, we got to do the best with what we have and keep on. You know, in terms of organizing civil disobedience in terms of taxes. I mean, Peter Schiff's dad, who, you know, ran for, was a Libertarian candidate, and he was right on the law, and always thought he would be made whole, and that everybody would come around. And even though he's technically accurate, you know, if you read his material about legal structure of taxes, he died in jail recently, unfortunately, Irwin Schiff.
Right.
But you know, what's it going to take? It's going to take a sovereign move of God, and it's going to take people who are willing to stand up.
Amen, Steve. But what wisdom? How old are you?
28, Coach.
Steve, you give me hope, man. You give me hope. Because that really is it. And nobody, see, somebody said to me the other day, or maybe I said to somebody the other day, be right with you there, Larry. I told somebody, listen, something great is about to happen. I just feel it, something great. But it ain't going to look very good. It isn't going to be very good. But it is going to be great. Because all this false stuff that America has been built upon is about to crumble. And it's going to be great. Some of us are going to make it through. Some of us are going to struggle more than others. There is a reckoning coming. But the Bible tells us that in the last days He'll pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. There's a big revival coming, which is far greater than a lack of a recession. A revival would be so much better than good finances in America. So there's great stuff coming. It just isn't going to look very good. Go ahead, Larry.
I didn't have my hand up. I just kind of...
I'm sorry. You just wiped your nose like I do all the time. Out of habit. Anybody else? Anybody at all?
As goes the church, so goes the nation.
That's right. So, JR, if you went into your local church, your average local church, and you started to talk about the stuff we're talking about, what would they say? How would they brush it off?
They'd ignore it. And that's, I can tell you that, I can tell you that for a fact.
How many churches do you suppose have guys like Steve sitting in, young guys like Steve who see what's going on? Or are most of the guys sitting in the church have no idea what's going on? And which position should the Christian man be in? An informed position like Steve is in, or a blind, stupid position like most Christians are in? Which, from a Christian perspective, from a church perspective, Which one is more godly?
You have to be informed.
Yeah. That's why I'm not. Man, is it? I only got 6 minutes left. I want solutions, guys. I don't want to just. I get up in the morning. I love doing this. I love being with you guys. I get up in the morning. I say, Lord, what am I going to talk about today? What am I going to talk
about? It doesn't take much when you're looking at the problems in America.
Well, and they're all spiritual, aren't they, Matt? They're all spiritual.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, you know, you talk about why the church is, you know, you ask J.R., well, what would your pastor say? You talk to him about these things. I think the pastors today are educated in the seminaries and they're programmed that they don't want to get into anything, because if they get in any kind of discussion about speaking out against evil issues, evil candidates or whatever, they'll lose their money.
Yeah.
So they don't even want to venture into it, not even just a little bit, because they know, you know, they've been told, hey, if anybody comes in and says it's just shut them off right there, because is what will happen eventually is that we'll lose our money if we're not careful. So we need to make dang on sure that we don't say anything. You know, we had years where we had both Republican House and Senate. Did they repeal the Johnson Amendment from 1954? No.
Still won't.
One of the biggest mistakes we could have made is by not repealing that. I mean, that was put in without even any discussion.
Right.
I don't know if you guys know that or not, but it was never discussed. Lyndon Baines Johnson got that amendment passed without any discussion.
Yep, 501c.
Yeah. And if you look at that, you know, money is more important to the church than anything else. Like you said, Dave, you know, the church should be taking care of the elderly. The church should be taking care of the abortion issue. There shouldn't even be an abortion issue. Stop and think about one simple thing. One simple thing is that if anybody that got pregnant through incest or rape or whatever, the church took care of them until they had the baby, and then the baby was either kept or given up for adoption or whatever the case is. There would never be a baby killed in America because nobody wanted it, because they would all be one. But it's got to be up to the church to take that. The government's not going to do it.
But if
the
it wasn't,
church has got to take care of those women until they have those babies.
So if abortion wasn't an option, there wouldn't be any abortion. So that's the point. Larry wants to jump in here. We just got a couple minutes left. Good word, Matt. Larry?
Absolutely. I mean, historically, the church did take care of all that up until the early last century, probably in the late 30s, early 40s is when all this happened. The Kansas City, the churches were taking care of all that individually. You know, they had some churches had their orphanage over here, another one had an orphanage over there. They had, you know, the churches did exactly what was just said.
All the hospitals were Christian. All the hospitals started by Christian.
What happened in Kansas City, and that's where this started at, is these churches, the leaders all got together and says, you know what, we're all doing this individually, says we could be much more effective if we kind of plump all of our resources for these activities together, and we appoint somebody to oversee all of this charitable stuff for everybody all at once. And it didn't take but just a hop, skip, and a jump for them to look to the city government.
Amen.
To take care of all of that. And that's where it started, where government was taking over the charity work that the church is responsible for. Missouri.
What's that secular hymn I love? Let's see. I hear tell the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Darling, my intentions were the best. That's why we blend with government, good intentions, and it's the road to hell is paved with them. We got to go this morning. It's been a lively discussion. Thanks for listening to my rant. It's important, guys. This stuff matters. It does matter. We can't just bury it and say, oh, well, you know, didn't really apply to me. It all applies to us. And the sin has collateral damage. And unfortunately, the collateral damage that we're seeing is our posterity. They're the ones going to pay for our unwillingness to stand up and do what's right. God bless you all. See you tomorrow, and tell your friends about us here.